Today's message is Jesus' Farewell Address, Part 2. If you remember, maybe 6 weeks ago, we had Part 1. So tonight is Part 2, continuing on in the chapters in John's Gospel, starting in Chapter 13 through, at least for tonight, the beginning of Chapter 16. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight thankful for this time. Thankful, Lord, that we can come and worship. Indeed, you are awesome. Lord, there is none greater by any stretch. And we are so glad because of your awesomeness that you are with us. And those who are yours, you are in us. Lord, that makes such a difference in our lives. May you lift us up as we consider tonight your word, as we consider what you said to your apostles when you were about to go to the cross, willingly for our sake. Lord, no words can express deeply enough our gratitude for what you have done there on the cross, what you were willing to do. And it's so good to know that death, even death, could not hold you, and that you are risen. Yes. Risen indeed from the dead. And there to intercede and gladly to send the Holy Spirit to ask the Father to do so, to be with us and in us. Lord, may you be glorified as we go forth this evening in this time of preparation of our hearts for communion. May you inspire us. May you be glorified as we remember you and what you have done. We do lift up, Lord, during this prayer time, those who are in need here in this congregation. Lord, those who are in pain, those who are recuperating in pain, whether it's physical or spiritual, Lord, or emotional, I pray you minister. I thank you, Lord, that you are present and that you, as you, Lord Jesus, have shown, care deeply for us. And your spirit is troubled when we are troubled, and especially that time you were betrayed, but also, Lord, just thinking about your sacrifice. Lord, may you lift up those who, and we all do, need your special touch for those things that are going on in our lives. We pray your blessing and your guidance and your wisdom, Lord, the author of all wisdom. May it be so, and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us to pray in his name to God the Father. Amen. Amen. Okay. For preparing our hearts for communion this time, the plan is to cover more of Jesus' farewell address to his apostles, as found in John's Gospel, chapters 15 and starting into chapter 16. Before starting into part 2, let's summarize part 1 from John chapters 13 and 14. The setting is before the Passover. Per verse 1 of chapter 13, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, having loved them to the very end. It begins as a farewell like none other, as instead of opening with a speech, Jesus took a towel and a basin of water and washed the apostles' feet. In those days, foot washing was a common task of a household servant. Then he spoke for John 13:13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." He acknowledged his lordship that he is more than a great teacher and healer. He is Lord. He does not lie. In verse 15, he said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you." So point one for his apostles and for us to remember from his farewell is that a servant is not greater than the master who showed by example to serve. Chapter 13 also included a glimpse of the compassionate heart of our Savior, who stated during this time of leaving, when he was troubled in spirit, that one of you will betray me. He brought it up at this time, so that when it happened, they would believe that he is the one who said he was. Judas Iscariot, his betrayer, took the bread given to him by the Lord and went out immediately, and it was night. The Lord then proclaimed a new commandment to his apostles, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are my disciples. Point two then is to love as he loved. He develops that point more later. Let's keep that in mind. Chapter 14 begins with the Lord comforting his apostles. "Let not your hearts be troubled," he said. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." What a comfort. The Lord made it clear that his departure from them was a temporary thing. He was going to prepare a place for them. He alone was able to pave the way for them to follow, and specifically to ready a place for each to abide and receive each to himself. This third point, then, that I pick up is that he is leaving to prepare a place in his Father's house, then return. Great words of comfort. But the apostles were not keeping up with the Lord's words. After Jesus made his declaration of his new commandment to love as he loved, John records Peter saying, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus said, "You cannot follow me now, but you shall." Peter replied, "Why can't I follow you now? I would lay down my life for you." That's when Jesus told him that Peter would soon deny him three times. Peter wasn't the only one slow to receive the Lord's words. After Jesus said he would go to prepare a place, then come again and receive them, he said, "And you know where I go, and you know the way." And Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" My guess is that as Peter was surprised with Jesus' answer about denial, Thomas was surprised when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Powerful, authoritative words. He, Jesus, was going to the Father. And about that fact, that there is one way, Jesus, the Son of God. The Lord must have replied in an inviting way because the question statement kept coming. Jesus continued in his response to Thomas, "If you would have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. It will be sufficient for us." Jesus responded, "Have you not known me?" he asked Philip. "He who has seen me has seen the Father." another powerful, startling response. The last question from the apostles was from Judas, not Iscariot, after Jesus spoke of intertwining of the keeping of his words and loving him. In John 14:21, he said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he who is that loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, caught that the Lord said he would manifest himself to the one who keeps his commandments and loves him, and said, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" The Lord responded less startlingly than he did to Peter, Thomas, and Philip. He simply restated what he had just said, only using the term, "If anyone loves him, he will love that person, and so will the Father, and they will make their home in that person." The glory of the gospel of uniting with the Father and the Son. His response may have been less startling, but how endearing. "Anyone who loves him, he and the Father shall make their home in that person, settling into the soul." What an intimate manifestation, person by person. Now he was leaving them. How would they feel? Peter wanted to protect him. Thomas wanted a map to follow. Philip wanted to see the Father, where Jesus was going. Judas, not Iscariot, looked for Jesus to set up a worldly kingdom. Many Jews looked for the Messiah to deliver them from their worldly enemies. It's so good that the Apostle John recorded these questions, these requests, for they revealed more of the Lord's person. He knew the future and prayed for Peter's return to him. He impressed the apostles and us with the fact that only he is the way to the Father. He made it clear that seeing him was indeed seeing God the Father. Some pretty strong statements that we hold tight to, thanks to John's recording of them in his gospel. And he stated that anyone who loves him and keeps his commandments will be loved by him and God the Father. Amazing. Amazing. So in part one of his farewell address, the Lord, the way I divided it up, the Lord taught about the calling he gives to serve, like his example. He also called the apostles to love as he loved them, his new commandment. He also taught about the promise of the Holy Spirit to be with them and in them. More is planned for that in a bit, about the Holy Spirit. He answered the apostles' questions and requests in such a powerful way of self-revelation. And he closed that segment saying, my mom's favorite verse, "Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you." Then he repeated, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I am going away and coming back to you. And now I have told you," he said, "that when it comes to pass, you may believe." So ends the summary of part one. This farewell address continues in chapter 15, starting with the image of a vine and the branches. Let's read John chapter 15, the first 8 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, he said. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into a fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. The Lord is about to leave his apostles. He told them that fact. Now he points out how critical it is to abide in him and in his words. He leaves, but his words remain. He makes a very understandable physical example, a vine and its branches. Let's consider now a visual example from our yard. First, a recently pruned branch from our weeping pine in the front yard. So here it is, still green. It is pruned so that more fruit can grow in what remains. But it was doing well. Second, the branch that has died and is no longer connected to the vine. It is brown, lifeless. Abide in me, Jesus said, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of its own self unless it abides in me, neither can you unless you abide in me. It is a very tangible, physical example of something that we all understand. A branch, without its source, dies. The healthy green changes to a dry brown, and it withers. That is how it is when we are separated from our source. We can do nothing, nothing, without our vine connected to us. He was leaving them, but still told them to abide in him and in his word. The Lord's word is so powerful, living, active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates to divide the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. It discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Per Hebrews 4, verse 12. And here the Lord speaks of a cleansing power of the word. Verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Recall that the Lord started his farewell address with foot washing. The Lord answered Peter in 13:10, that he who is bathed needs only to wash feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Now in chapter 15, with Judas Iscariot departed, he said, you are already clean by the word I have spoken. Jesus had richly pointed out his word. For quite a while, he had poured it out into his apostles, cleansing them as they received it. imagine. It's like being in a day-long devotional with the living Bible right in front of our eyes and the context well understood. What does the last verse of John's Gospel say? The very last one. It says, "And there were also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. All that Jesus said, all that he did, it would take innumerable books to contain it all. And the 12 witnessed it. How could they carry on with him leaving them? How could they abide in him and in his word? As he said in chapter 14, starting in verse 28, "The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." The physical, tangible connection to the vine, the Lord Jesus in the flesh, becomes a spiritual connection through the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who is always, yes, always there. The Lord does not leave or forsake us, but constantly seeks unity and life, cleansing us when we sin and confess our sin. Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." A strong statement. People would wear wristbands some years ago that said, "WWJD, what would Jesus do?" I am convinced that the all-knowing, everywhere present, all-powerful, all-wise God, in the person of the Holy Spirit who is in each believer, knows exactly what Jesus would do. May we remember that and ask for wisdom regularly. I do not regularly do that, though I am convinced that nothing is too large or too small for the Lord. Verse 7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By that my Father is glorified, and you will bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So what do we ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom, and the Lord was pleased with his request. Simply the recognition that the Lord is in us, and even just a cry for help from him aligns our thinking rightly to receive his answer. May we remember his urgent request to abide in him and in his word. Knowing that if we don't abide in the vine, we do nothing. Nothing of significance in his eyes. But if we do abide, we do bear fruit, and the Father is glorified. Then the Lord alludes to the cross in the most unusual way, lifting up the status of his apostles. Let's read further in John 15, starting in verse 11. John 15, 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." He said that a number of times. He recently spoke, "Peace I leave with you." Now he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you." He knows he's about to go to the cross, yet he speaks that his joy may be in them. Then he calls them again to love one another as he has loved them, further pursuing the topic of love again and again. He said the famous verse 13, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That is precisely what he is about to do. But he, their Lord and Master, now changes the relationship from master-servant to friends. Servants don't know what the Master is doing. He has made known to them all things that he heard from the Father. As he was going forward to give his life for them, he made it clear that they, who were privy to all that he had laid out before them, were now his friends. What a comfort to be elevated from servant to friend, even as the cross and separation looms. Then he spoke to prepare them for the hatred of the world. Let's continue on John chapter 15, starting in verse 18. "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them." He spoke to them to prepare them for the things of the hatred of the world. The world loves its own. Jesus Christ and his are not of the world. The world hated him. The world hates his. If they persecuted the Lord, they will persecute his. Now, since Christ came, they have no excuse for their sin. Haters of the Christ also hate the Father. The scripture is fulfilled. They hated me with no cause. That's from Psalm 69, verse 4. The helper, the comforter, whom Jesus shall send from the Father, shall testify of Jesus. The apostles shall bear witness as well. Jesus told them these things so they would not stumble. They would know the persecution to expect from the world and the religious leaders at the synagogue, even up to death. These things will happen because they do not know God the Father, nor God the Son. This is the best farewell address, even so, by far. Only the Son of God could do it. Master to servant, serve like I do, love like I do, giver of comfort, though I am leaving, I will come back for you. Peace I give to you, joy I give to you. Abiding remains, even forever. The physical closeness to him when he was on earth becomes the spiritual closeness of the Holy Spirit in believers. Cleansing by the word of God. There was one who was not clean, his betrayer, which troubled his compassionate spirit. And John showed that as well through his words. Telling of what was to come before it happened, including persecution, so they would believe and not stumble. Elevating the relationship from master-servant to friend, and proclaiming that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's what he did. He, who knew no sin, yet willingly went to the cross to pay for all. Yes, all of our debt, an excruciating mountain of unrighteousness. Even he calls those who believe he is the Christ, who came to save us, not to condemn us. He calls us friends. That continues to amaze me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now as we turn to communion, read the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, such words of comfort, such words of authority, such words of compassion, such words of the reality of following you, such words of the great love, so amazing. It seems like only scratch the surface because you are so at odds with anything of condemnation and so much desirous of unity. Again and again, unity, love, abiding, cleansing through your word. Lord, it just boggles the mind to think that you do so, all that for us, and that you even call us friends. Servant would be fine. Thank you that you have made it known to us, Lord Jesus, those things that the Father showed you, and that it was well recorded in these holy scriptures. May we continue to be washed, cleansed by you and your word, Lord. May we continue to abide. And may the pruning, Lord, that you do be for your glory. May you be lifted up high, and may you take these common elements and indeed make them, Lord, for this purpose, to celebrate that you, Lord, gave yourself for us. How great you are. How great you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.